Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
In John chapter 9, Gospel of John chapter 9, Jesus tells a really cool story. Go ahead and pull up my first slide if you would. Jesus tells a story about healing a blind man, which isn't unusual. If you read the Gospels, Jesus is always doing these sorts of things. He's healing sick people. He's giving sight to the blind. He's allowing the crippled to walk again. He's doing all these miracles, tremendous miracles, and it's just powerful as you see God, Jesus, walking through and touching people's lives. But this particular story, Jesus heals this guy, and it's a pretty neat experience. This guy was blind from birth, is what the Bible says, and Jesus discovers him as he's walking along. And he comes across this guy who was blind from birth, and he makes a mud pie. He literally spits, makes some mud, and he wipes it on this guy's eyes. I refer to it as the first spa treatment, which I thought was pretty cool. Jesus had, you know, he's creative. And so he puts this mud pie on this guy's eyes, and boom, this holy mud heals this person who was blind from birth, heals his vision, and now he can see. And you have all these stories throughout Scripture where God steps in. He begins to give people vision. And it's physical vision. But I think perhaps more importantly what Jesus was getting at is that there is a spiritual blindness too. Somewhat like what's captured in the song, Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see, he's not talking about physical blindness, John Newton. He's talking about the spiritual blindness that often happens to anyone with sight. And so Jesus continues along, and this was a scandalous experience, this Jesus healing this guy of his blindness. And the Pharisees and the religious people of the day they wanted to see if indeed what happened with this guy. And so they brought out the guy's parents, and they said, is this your son? Yes, that's our son. Was he blind? Was he really blind? Yes, he's been blind from birth. And the guy was even, the man who had been healed, he was like, yes, I don't know what you have against this man, but all I know is that I once was blind, but now I can see, and that's a good thing. And then Jesus, at the very end, and I'm summarizing the story a great deal, but the last few verses, this is sort of how Jesus puts it, because I really believe that God came to give us sight. To give us eyes that we could see. And not just to heal those who are physically blind, but to heal those of us who are spiritually blind. To give us eyes so that we can really, really see. And so he says this in verse 39 of chapter 9. He says, Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" And Jesus finishes it off with this. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. If you were just physically blind, we wouldn't have a problem with that. But he says, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. And I think as much as I would like to indict the Pharisees on their spiritual blindness, the truth of the matter is we all can become blind. Or perhaps it's not blindness, perhaps it's maybe narrow vision, tunnel vision. We can become short-sighted. We can lack the ability to really see. Or worse yet, perhaps we can see it, but we don't really want to look. We can even be tempted to turn away. You ever talk to somebody and they're not looking at you? You're trying to get in there so you can feel like you're really having a conversation. And to a large degree, I think that spiritually, that's what Jesus is trying to do. Just kind of get in our way so we can see. The trip that I went on was with an organization called Compassion International. Some of you have heard of Compassion International. How many of you have heard of Compassion International? Wonderful. I'm glad you have. If you've been to a Christian concert, perhaps, sometimes after the artist has done some of his songs, he'll come back and he'll say, "Well, I want to talk about Compassion International, how you can sponsor a child who's living in poverty." Well, this is the organization that I went with. And I went with a group of pastors that are from the Salt Lake City area. We were all chosen by a local church that is a Compassion International partnering church. They sponsor a program in some part of the world with a lot of dollars. They sponsor. So every now and then they get to do a vision trip. That's what this is called. That's what my trip was called. It was a pastor's vision trip. So the idea was to help pastors see, to put the mud on our eyes and to let Jesus wipe the mud away and heal our vision so that we could see poverty up close and personal. So they covered all the expenses on this trip. They paid for everything. They said, "We will take care of everything. We just want you to see." And so I had my opportunity to see. We spent about 6 days in Kenya, and I'm just going to take you through. If we could kill the spots, if somebody could hit those spotlights, that would be really, really great. I want to share with you some of my slides here, and Carl and I will work together to get through these. But this is a pastor's vision trip. So this is a group of pastors. We're meeting in, this is Minneapolis. We're taking off from Minneapolis. We've all just gathered, coming in from Salt Lake and Oregon. There's about 10 or 12 of us. Oh, don't let it run by itself. Let me help you through that. And we've just gathered, and that's our trip leader. His name is Christian Hill, and he's our trip leader. He's the guy that works with Compassion, or who works for Compassion, and he's given us a brief orientation. You may recognize Pastor Francis Davis there. Pastor Francis Davis went with us, and so this is a group of pastors. Pastor Sergio Romero back there in the corner. We were the two Adventist pastors that were on this trip, and so that was a good thing. I had a friend along with me. But we're gathering, sort of getting briefed before we head over the pond. We had a flight into Amsterdam. Go to the next slide. So this is our group of pastors, and that's after we arrived in Amsterdam. We're gathering again just to talk, had a little bit of a layover, and this is our group. The next slide, our first stop, what we did was we went to these different projects that Compassion has in Nairobi, in and around Nairobi, Kenya. And the first stop, the first day, we got in on a Friday night, we hit the ground running Saturday morning, we went out to the Maasai project that Compassion has. Go to the next slide. And the Maasai people, you can see here, very colorful, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that just gorgeous? And I even received this from one of the Maasai people. I'm not really even sure how to use it, but they put it around my neck. And but they are known for some of their beadwork. Go to the next slide. You can just see the colors and the beauty of this group. Wherever we went, when we arrived at a project site, most of the time the people were lined up along the road welcoming us with song and dance. You ever been welcomed with song and dance? This is the coolest thing. So everybody starts singing and dancing, and then we went inside this little church. This is a little church. One of the things I really appreciated about Compassion International, there's a lot of things I appreciate about the organization, is that they will only do projects with a local church. They won't start a project without partnering with a local church. So the Maasai project that they have there is partnered with a local church. So we're in the church. Go to the next slide, and the kids are performing, that's some of the children, and go to the next slide, the ladies come along and they perform, there's some of the kids that are part of the project, and it's way out in the bush, man, it's just way out there, and the Maasai people live in very rural areas, and they are, and you can see there again, the colors is really just beautiful, beautiful people. When my wife was looking at some of the pictures last night, she's like, they are just gorgeous, and they are. They're beautiful, beautiful people. But what's interesting is as these people become aware of the gospel, as the Maasai people who have in the past practiced polygamy and still continue to practice polygamy, who have struggled with genital mutilation for the females. As they become aware of Jesus and Christianity, these things are now changing. So there's no more polygamy for those who become followers of Jesus. There's no more this genital mutilation that for those who become followers of Jesus. So that's what the project exists for, but primarily exists for helping children come out of poverty. And so go to the next slide. That's what these slides are. This is the project site for the Maasai people. It's way out there. And it was just a neat experience, especially all the colors and just the beauty that was there. Go to the next slide. The children were so much fun. The ladies, as you can see, I tried really hard to talk them out of one of those neat blankets they have, and they wouldn't do it. But they would sell me one. And so, but they had just some beautiful stuff. Go to the next slide. One of the things, if you talk to any pastor that went on the trip, they would tell you that the thing that had the greatest impact on us was going on home visits. When we went to a project site, Compassion would take us to the actual home of some of the people who were participating in the project. So this is me outside of a Maasai home, and this is a mom and her son there, her little boy, and that's the mud dung house that she built, because the women are responsible for building the houses. Amen. No, kidding. And the because the men are off taking care of the sheep, and or not the sheep, the cattle and things, so the men have to go off, and sometimes they may have to be gone for months and months and months and months trying to find water for the cattle. But that's outside of the house. The ladies take care of it. There's no light in there. We walked in there, and we're like, we can't see anything, you know? So it's really dark in there, and it was very interesting how they build that house. Go to the next slide. So you can just see, this is a Maasai man with his wife outside of their home, and it was just really special for us to personally get into the homes and get acquainted and sit down, and it's just a really, really small area, really, really small area. Go to the next slide. And this is the Maasai project that Compassion has going on. And this is when we're leaving the little village. We went further out. We left this little village of the Maasai. But again, in the midst of all that sort of brown dirt is this colorful community of just really beautiful people who are coming to understand the gospel. So really cool experience with the Maasai. Go to the next slide. Sunday, that was Saturday that we went to the Maasai Project. Sunday, we went to church, and we went to the Evergreen Project. Go to the next slide. So all those children are part of this local church, and this little girl we couldn't take the camera off of her. So you'll see a number of pictures of her in that striking red. And what we wanted to do, Pastor Sergio and I sort of coordinated our pictures together, is again, get you to take a closer look. Have Jesus restore our sight. But the thing that I believe Jesus wants us to do after he even gives us sight, after he saves us, after he gives us salvation, is that he wants us to take a closer look at the things of God. So when we begin to take a closer look, we begin to change our lives. He begins to change our lives. It changes how we eat. It changes how we spend our time. It changes how we do all sorts, how we spend our money, all sorts of things. So God says, I'm going to heal your blindness. I'm going to heal your spiritual blindness. But I'm also going to ask you to take it one step further and look a little bit closer at the things of God. And so that little girl, and these are kids at the Evergreen Project. What you're going to find here, too, again, Compassion comes in, and they take the poorest of the poor children and try to pull them out of poverty. These are just some of the kids. Go to the next slide. What you're going to see, too, are some of the gifts that you gave. This church showed up big time. I took a massive suitcase, man, and gave it to all these kids. Those are a couple of the soccer balls that you gave. Isn't that cool? And those kids loved those soccer balls. And we made sure that the Maasai kids got several of those soccer balls. So those Wasatch Hills, they're your soccer balls. I didn't sell them or anything, so they're there. All right. There's a little girl in the red again, and it's her friend or sister or somebody with her. Go to the next slide. And there's a little boy. We played Frisbee together, And I want you to notice the stickers. That's not the mark of the beast. Those are the stickers on his forehead. And stickers were a huge hit. So those of you who donated stickers, thank you. The stickers were incredible. Kids loved the stickers. So we played Frisbee, and I got a picture with them there. Go to the next slide. And this is a lady. Guess what she has? Stickers, man. See? And we learned real quick, don't pull out the stickers unless you really want to get mobbed. So she was learning that. Go to the next one. There are some of the kids playing with the Frisbee. Some of you guys gave Frisbees from our church. And we're taking a closer look at some of these kids. You'll see a lot of close-up pictures shot with a zoom lens. Go to the next one. Just some of these kids that are just like everybody else's kids, but they live in real poverty. Go to the next one. This is the Evergreen Project. There's that red again, that little girl. She always seemed to get in front of our cameras. We're out there playing Frisbee in the parking lot with some of the kids. These are kids that come from just the surrounding neighborhood. And there she is again. A close-up shot of her. The next project that we went to, which is what this slide transitions to, is an HIV/AIDS project that Compassion is doing just outside of Nairobi. And these ladies, all these ladies are HIV positive. And they are a support group that helps other ladies who are HIV positive and anyone else who would like to be a part of their support group to help them deal with the issues relative to what happens when you're HIV positive. And their t-shirt says, Encouraging Positive Living. And this, as we visited the projects, this was the liveliest, most alive group of anyone. They were just amazing. And they're living with this stigma of this being HIV positive. And people know it, and people, you know, so, and yet there's this joy. Look at the smiles there. And we hit that project campus, and it was just alive. There was no, they weren't depressed, they weren't down. They were dancing. They greeted us just like the Messiah. They were dancing and singing, and it was just powerful. Go to the next slide. These are some of the children in the nursery there, attached to a local church. Go to the next slide. That's more of the school. Go to the next one. You may recognize those little things. We took these little whistle things from Vacation Bible School. We took about 30 or 40 of them, I think, and we gave them out to these little kids. And that's what I'm teaching them to use. Those things are extremely annoying, so I'm sure a lot of parents hate us for bringing those. But the kids loved them, man. They had a blast. They had such a blast with those. Go to the next one. And Pastor Sergio and I just taking some pictures with some of the kids there, the two teachers in the back. And we did a little music with them. That's one of the pastors, Pastor Denny, there teaching the kids some of the songs. And if you go to the next one, what was interesting, there's some more of the little loud, annoying things. What was interesting is that we learned that, pause it right there if you would. We learned something interesting because one of the questions that we had as we talked to these mothers who were HIV positive, because they had children since they were HIV positive. And we said, how are the children HIV positive? In fact, there's a picture coming up that shows a beautiful little child that I'm holding, and she is not HIV positive, but her mom is. And apparently, and some of you who are in the medical profession know better than I do, but apparently there is something that they can do about 2 or 3 weeks out from the due date or whatever, and they can prevent the child from being HIV positive. I don't know what that is. Some of you can probably explain it better than me. But most of the children that are in this project are not HIV positive. So that's awesome. That's really cool. Again, a home visit. We went to this lady's house, just a little shack. And she's HIV positive. Her daughter isn't. That's her daughter. And the home visit, we spent probably an hour just talking to her, learning about her life. How has this Compassion Project been of help for her spiritually, economically, and emotionally? And she was just thrilled to have us in her little house. Go to the next slide. And there's that beautiful little child that just, you should have seen all the pastors just looking around going, can we hold her? Can we hold her? She was just gorgeous. And I had a chance to hold her. I tried to keep her for myself. And Pastor Scott back there, he's looking because he wanted to hold her. But she's not HIV positive, and her mom is. Go to the next one. And that's the whole group. We just took a little picture. But that's the HIV/AIDS project there near Nairobi that Compassion is doing, providing support for families for women who are HIV positive. So go to the next one. There's another project that Compassion does. It's called the Leadership Development Program. And you can see these are bigger children, if you will. These are bigger kids. And what happens is children can get into, can get involved with Compassion at a very early age. But what happens after they grow to the older ages? If, and, you know, can we help release them from poverty? And so what Compassion has done is developed an older age sort of program to help kids once they get into college. So these are two college students that we got that we had an opportunity to, as pastors, have dinner with, and they're in the leadership development program. They're going to school. These, both of these kids grew up in the slums, and I'll get to the slums in just a minute. But they literally grew up in the slums, just the picture of poverty, and you can't even begin to imagine. But they're doing well, and they are they're in college. And they have a great leadership potential, and they just were a light to be around. They were just really great kids. She's in marketing, and he's in biochemistry, I believe, is their major. So these kids are going to go a long way. And what's powerful about that leadership development program is not so much that you are now out of poverty, but you, those kids are required. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. You're required to also be involved in a Compassion project. And as a group, you are required to sponsor another child. So they have to give back, man. You don't just get to escape poverty and never turn back. You have to engage in helping bring others out of poverty. So go to the next one. These are the slums. And this is a slum that we were actually allowed to take pictures of. There's a slum that we couldn't, that I'll show you a little bit later, but this is, people live, what? Sorry. Anyway, yeah, I couldn't take pictures at the other one. They let us take pictures at this one. Anyway, so go to the next slide. And it's just, you can see we're going into the little slum neighborhood. Go to the next slide. It's just dirty. It's just filthy. It's just, you know, and here are these little kids playing with sticks and a tire, you know, and that was some of their joy and fun. More kids with their stick and their tire. This is a slum area that had been wiped out because the government's coming through to build a road. So those people, they gave those people 72 hours, I believe it was, to get out of their shack. And their little shanty, and before they leveled them. So it's still the remnants of these little ghetto houses. Go to the next one. And this is, we're going to walk up that little trail there where those people are standing. That's, we're across the field from them. We're going to walk up there to those houses where we have permission to take pictures. And that's me standing next to one of the little houses. And this was a home visit. We just went to meet these families in the slums. And this was a lady. Go to the next slide. And oh, here's some more kids just right outside the slum, right outside the house there. Pretty dirty there. So this was a lady. And this is her house. You can get an idea how small, really tiny it is. But she's making beads there. And she just had a great story. She had a tremendous, she was just beaming that we were in her house. And she was really a neat lady. We got a chance to visit with her. But she makes some extra money. Compassion also helps these ladies. Some of them are single moms because the husbands run off and leave them. But they also help them to with some of their income-generating sorts of talents and gifts that they have. And hers is making jewelry and making some of these beaded things. I don't think she was Maasai, but she still had the gift of making this jewelry. So she started bringing out some of the stuff that she could make. And all the pastors are looking around going, oh, that's kind of cool. Well, that'd be a great souvenir. So I think she made about $30 off of us there in that place, which was great. We were doing what was supposed to happen. And anyway, that was a home visit with her. Go to the next slide. This was another lady that we visited in that same slum, and she's going to demonstrate how to treat a mosquito net. So there's her mosquito net, and she demonstrates to us how she treats it because I think there's three or four of them that sleep under this mosquito net because of the malaria-carrying mosquitoes and so forth. So they treat it with the chemical. Some of you know what it is. It slips my mind right now. What is it? It starts with an E, I think. Anyway, pretty potent chemical, so she's just demonstrating how she has to protect her hands and so forth. Go to the next slide. But we spent some time with her, and I just want you to see how these kids live, where they are. And that's their playground right there, I guess. And there's another little child there. Take a closer look. Jesus, when he cures our blindness, he doesn't leave us alone. He says, look a little bit closer. Look at the world around you. Beautiful kid there. Big smile. Those little girls in red there. This is just, again, right around the slum area that we could take pictures at. Go to the next slide. Some of the kids there we got to hang out with and talk to and just visit with. And then there's that little boy. Well, there we are on that same home visit from before, visiting with that lady there in the background. A couple of the pastors there. Go to the next one. More of the slum. What's that? I don't know. I didn't see a Salvation Army truck, but it wouldn't surprise me if they. Oh, maybe that is. No, I don't think that's a logo, Salvation Army logo. So, anyway, go to the next one. And the next one. It's interesting. You see the smiles on these kids' faces. Look at that. Go to the next one. There's our group standing outside of the home that we just visited, Pastor Davis and myself and Pastor Scott. Pastor Scott, if you can tell, he is huge. He had a really hard time getting into some of those houses. He's a big guy. Now, this is an aerial shot. Pause it right here. This is an aerial shot. It's hard to see. But this is an aerial shot of the slum that I could not take pictures in. They drove us through it. They literally put us all in a van and drove us through this slum. It is a mile and a half square. That's the territory that it covers. There are 2.5 million people living in that slum. 2.5 million people living in a mile and a half square area. And that's, you're seeing the rooftops of the metal sheets that cover their houses. You're looking down on them. This is a picture taken as we're flying off to go to another place in a smaller plane. And we just had to snap some of these pictures. And as we couldn't take pictures on the inside, but I can tell you, it was something. We drove through this place and it was just rough. So go to the next picture. I think I just have another shot of it from the air. But all those kind of brown splotches there, that's the slum. Basically, kind of here over, that's that slum. And we drove for about 30 minutes just weaving through the slum area there. And you saw kids and you saw people and you saw poverty at its worst. I mean, I felt bad driving through there in a car. I felt like, you know, they had their reasons. Compassion has a project there. And they had their reasons why they didn't want us walking through. But I still felt bad because it was, you felt like you're exploitive at some level because you're in a car driving through gawking at their poverty. And so it was, there were some of those conflicts going on in my heart as I drove through it, but it was certainly a closer look. It was a way to see it up close and personal. and to smell it and to feel it and to be there was tremendous. So go to the next slide. The last day that we were there, just to sort of recap, I believe that God wants to heal our blindness. You believe that too? I think he absolutely wants us to have our eyes opened. Then I not only believe that he wants to give us new sight and heal our spiritual blindness, but I believe he wants us to take a closer look at the world around us. And I think he wants our hearts to be broken by the things that he sees. We begin to see the world through God's eyes. Some powerful things begin to happen. But as you take a closer look, I believe we begin to realize that this following Jesus thing and having the eyes of Jesus thing may cost us a great deal. Now, go back to that last slide, if you would. This is, they gave a bunch of guy pastors a couple hours to go shop, okay, which is kind of funny, but we needed more time because there was just so much cool stuff. So you got all these guy pastors out there shopping. And this was a little market where everyone brings their stuff. And I bought a bunch of stuff for my family and so forth at this little market. But it's, you know, people want to sell their stuff. And they are not very passive about letting you know that they have great stuff, okay? So it's like, stop, come see what I have. Come see what I have. Come. And you can't walk down one of those aisles. You know, in America, we window shop. They don't know that concept there. You look, you're locked in, baby, you know? So it was funny, though, as you walk down the aisles, they would eventually say, there's no charge for looking. There's no charge for looking. Come check it out. No charge for looking. And I'm thinking to myself, well, but you want me to buy it, right? There could ultimately be a charge for looking. If I stop long enough, I could probably convince myself to buy this neat little trinket that you have. And I would say this to us as our eyes are opened. I think that God comes along and he says, take a closer look. But know that if you take that closer look, it may, in fact, cost you a great deal. But the believer, the Christian, the person who is faithful to Jesus and longs to serve Jesus, can't help, man, but stop and look. And then be willing to pay the price, whatever it costs me. Christina and I, when we first got married 15 years ago, we sponsored a child from Compassion, and we did it for like a year or two, and then for whatever reasons, we stopped doing it. I don't know why. Then in the last couple of years, we picked it up again, and we started sponsoring a child. And after coming back from this trip, I told her as soon as we got in the car, we will never, ever, 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 ever go without sponsoring a kid. Whether it's through Compassion or some other organization, I don't care. We will always sponsor a child who we can help pull out of poverty. And in fact, we're talking about sponsoring the second child. But what had to happen for me, and what has to happen for every believer, I think, is that you got to get up close and personal. God has to heal our blindness, give us new eyes, help us to begin to see. Don't get me wrong. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination totally healed of my blindness. I still need to see more. But at some level, I think God has opened my eyes. And I pray that he'll continue to do that. It was a tremendous, tremendous experience. It was a gift for me to go. We ate well. They did not allow us to live in poverty on the whole trip. In fact, I think some of the pastors gained weight while we were gone. But the purpose of the trip was, it was vision. It was to help us to see. And this is not about Compassion. It's not about promoting what they do. I know some of you are probably thinking, well, they took you so that you'll come back and you'll put the squeeze on your church. No, This was not when you go to Cancun and they ask you to do the timeshare tour, right? And we'll give you tickets to go to the beach or something. I don't know. But it was not that sort of thing. At the end of our time with Compassion, they did not come in with the hard sell. They said, just reflect on what you experienced. So I have a couple of pages of journaling that I did as I did it. And that's where they left it. That's where they left it. So it wasn't that sort of thing. But I truly believe that God came to give us sight, to challenge us to take a closer look, and to understand that that closer look will cost us. You can't just walk by, man. You can't just close your eyes to it. You can't just turn away. You have to respond to the need as you see it. One of the most profound statements that I heard while we were gone, and thank you, Pam, for going to the piano. One of the most profound statements that I heard while we were there was our trip leader. He was trying to define poverty. And he said, this is how he shared with us Compassion's mission statement, but then he said, this is how I personally define poverty. He said, poverty is the absence of hope. Poverty is the absence of hope. I love that definition, because the reality is you can live in the lap of luxury but be impoverished. Follow what I'm saying? There are people who are spiritually impoverished sitting in this church this morning. At some level, maybe perhaps we're all impoverished. See, poverty absolutely is reflected in what we saw in the slums. Poverty is the lack of clean drinking water. Poverty is not having clothes and shelter and a mosquito net to protect you from the elements. No question about it. That is poverty. Don't want to downplay that at all. But what I saw in those slums, what I saw in the eyes of some of those kids, was hope. They've come out of poverty. They still live in the same hellhole. Excuse my language. But poverty is, they're slowly being taken out of poverty. Why? Because they have an enormous amount of hope. Enormous amount of hope. We live in a great wealthy land. We have so much. The question becomes, are we in poverty? And I believe that Jesus wants to heal our blindness, to give us hope and a future. Poverty is the absence of hope. Kids who can't see beyond their circumstances. Compassion comes in, helps them see that there is another world. There is life beyond the slums, man. And that's pretty cool. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I pray that we would all take a closer look. And I just pray that, Father God, you would use my words just as a way to help begin thinking about your power to offer hope to everyone, not just those of us who have been given so much, but those who live with so little. And God, I thank you for the gift that has been mine to experience this last couple of weeks and to see what I saw. And I still need you, God, to wash my eyes and to heal my blindness. But I pray, Lord, that at some level you will continue to do that. God, I thank you for your blessings on this church. Thank you for the hearts and the lives of those who give so much, who have been instrumental in sponsoring children, not just through Compassion, but in so many different projects out there, whether it be through ADRA or through World Vision or whatever. God, this church is doing it. I know they are. And I just pray that you would continue to use this church to offer hope to those who live in the most desperate of situations. But give us new eyes. Give us new vision. Help us to see and not turn away and to look closely with your eyes. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org, or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org. Thank you.